Hello, and welcome to Hip to Be a Square podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. Today is Friday, March 2nd. It's almost spring. There is a very annoying and aggressively chirpy bird outside right now. I don't think you guys can hear it, but he or she, I don't know enough about birds to know which ones usually do the singing. Aggressively holding a concert in my backyard. Thanks, bird. Super helpful. At least it's not the red rum goat that our previous neighbors behind us had that would just sort of, or no, it was the red rum rooster. And then they got a goat. If you guys remember the red rum rooster, it just sounded like it was being murdered when it tried to crow. It was not a pleasant sound. And it was bad at telling time because it would decide to make said murdery crow noises in the middle of the day. Right when I'm on a conference call and I'd have the windows open because the weather was nice and people at work would be like, what is that sound? That's how loud that rooster was. Anyway, then they got a goat. The goat was not much better. Maybe the goat murdered the rooster. I don't know. I really don't know. And then those people moved and now there's some super huntery guy back there that posts no trespassing signs. Which is just, what a lovely visual to look out your backyard at nature and the bird concert and see these aggressive neon orange signs. Bless him in being committed to his life choices. Hello, and this is the podcast today, a little scattered. So I have been slowly trying to get things going project-wise. I had a really awesome class last weekend with Susan Cleveland, and her website is Pieces Be With You, spelled like P-I-E-C-E-S, like pieces of fabric. And she is a delight. And I will say, one of the things that I need to work on as a person, not as a quilter, and I'm going to have a preamble here so you guys give a peek into my brain. As a kid, my thing was like, I'm the smart one. I didn't like it when other people were smarter than me or positioned themselves as smarter than me. I was the smart one. And I have become comfortable in my own intelligence that having other smart people around now is a good thing instead of something that makes me defensive. But I have become to rely more on being the funny one. And I find now when I meet someone for the first time and they're funny, I get kind of defensive and I'm like, I don't like them. And you guys may sometimes see that play out in the Stitch TV show when I'm with Lynn, who was also a funny person, but I do joke about it, like, no, I'm the funny one. And I do it to my husband and I do it to my coworkers and like, nope, I need to realize that being around other funny people doesn't make me less funny. Anyway, Susan Cleveland's funny. And tells great stories and has such a great, colorful personality that it, I was not sure. So the class we had, it was 8-hour class and it was, bodacious binding and piping. Her thing is sort of adding piping to binding and in other elements in the quilt and embellishment. And I really appreciate her style of quilting because she, you know, discovered early on, she's like, free motion quilting is not my thing. And so then she became committed to, well, what can I do in my quilts to have them stand out if I'm not doing free motion quilting? So she does a lot with heavier weight threads to draw attention. She mixes machine, like walking foot quilting and hand quilting together. She adds embellishments like beads and sequins and buttons. And so she really does a lot to really highlight the structure of her quilts. And she's won awards and her quilts are gorgeous. And she's got great color sense. And when I saw the class description, it was like, you don't need to bring a sewing machine. It's a whole day lecture. I thought, oh my word, 8 hours and my butt is going to fall asleep in this uncomfortable chair. But it turned out fine. Because she is such an engaging storyteller and had so much knowledge. And fortunately, she gave us a couple handouts, you know, that you take notes on. So a lot of the stuff was already there in the handout for us. So you just kind of embellish with your own notes. And it was everything from precision piecing to basting and quilting and, you know, just like a little bit of everything and things that I hadn't thought of before. So really, really worth it. And and Lynn and I signed up for it together, and we're kind of like, oh, 8-hour lecture. I don't know. We might have to leave partway through. But like, no, we were fully engaged. And Susan does realize, she's like, you know, 8 hours is a long time. So she would lecture for, you know, 45, 50 minutes. And then we take a 10-minute break. Like, everyone stand up. You know, let's get some blood flowing. It's not healthy to sit that long. So, you know, it worked out. And then we got invited to go to dinner with Susan. And she also knows Marty Michelle, who lives in the Atlanta area. And Marty's daughter, Stacy, has a studio also in the Atlanta area. And Stacy does hand-dyed fabrics. She also is the U.S. distributor for Soft Fuse. And she also, let's see, So she has this kind of wet work studio that we got to tour in between the class and dinner, which was amazing. And it's this great space in this kind of weird old converted warehouse kind of thing that's subdivided up into different artist space. And so she and her husband run this studio for hand dyed, and we got to tour it and, you know, see all the stuff that goes into hand dyeing and package, or yeah, dye. Hand dyeing fabric and packaging and what they're doing there. And so that was really awesome. And then we went and met her mom, Marty Michelle, who is like the queen of templates. If you don't know Marty Michelle, and Iowa State was playing that night. So we went to a sports bar. And so, you know, 'cause sports ball is my brand. No, it's not. So anyway, we went to the sports bar and had dinner with Marty and Stacy and Susan and a couple other people from our guild, and it was delightful. And so glad that we went, but by the end of it, Lynn and I just rode home practically in silence. We're like, we're so tired. Introverts unite together in our own homes. So yeah, the rest of the night, I didn't get home until 9 o'clock. So yeah, I was gone for a full 13 hours, I think. Just a long day Saturday. Totally worth it. Amazing class. Fabulous dinner. But whoo boy, were we tired. So then Sunday was kind of spent frantically trying to make progress on other quilts. So I did finish finally quilting my rainbow jelly roll quilt, which I had just put together because I had this rainbow jelly roll and I thought it's been sitting in my stash way too long and it's lovely and someone will appreciate this. And I was so optimistic when I started quilting this, like, I'm going to just give it a lot of texture and do big chrysanthemums. And it's a 54-inch square quilt. Not that big, you know, compared to a king size. But I got doing these chrysanthemums and I got maybe a quarter, a fifth of the quilt quilted and thought, I'm really sick of these chrysanthemums. And I thought, can I do something else? And I thought, you know what? It's my dang quilt. Of course I can. So I had done these kind of in a corner. So if you drew a diagonal line across a corner, I kind of filled that space up with chrysanthemums. And then I followed that with some wavy lines next to it to break it up. And then I went from wavy lines to a more geometric pattern. I did, I think it's a Krista Watson free motion design, but it's like a meander of squares. So it's kind of all right angles. And and I've seen it in Angela Walter's book too. So a lot of free motion quilters use it. It's a very geometric print, or design, not a print. But you essentially just kind of make squares and cross over and travel around that way. So from there, I went to a meander made out of very pointy bits. So a normal meander or stipple has curves. This one was just all corners and triangles. So that came next. And I'm slowly building this out from corner to corner on this quilt. And so then I finally ended, my fifth design was just a regular meander with curves on it. So I kind of do this in my head, it's a migration from super packed curly chrysanthemum straightened out to a wavy line, got a little kinked up into a square, got real pointy in a triangle, and then smoothed out into a meander. in practical sense, no one else is going to pick up on that besides me. And this quilt is a great size to donate to DFACS, and it's bright and cheerful, and it is now washed. Oh, I have to put a label on it. And then it'll be ready to donate at our March meeting. So I got that done, finally. And it was taunting me because I got stuck on the chrysanthemum thing, thinking, oh, I'm going to have to keep doing this. Ugh. And no, you don't. You don't have to keep quilting a quilt design just because you started one. It's your quilt. You can do what you want. And you are your own quilt police. And also, there's no quilt police because it's your quilt. So there you go. That leads me to my next point of, hey, doing your own thing. Lynn and I had thought about for a while starting up a Facebook group. And I have struggled with Facebook. I have feelings about Facebook where I don't post a lot on there. And when I do, it's usually on my personal profile. I will share with my friends, but not my acquaintances. And I am careful about, you know, distinguishing the two groups. I don't accept really Facebook friend requests from people that I have not met in person. There's a couple podcast listeners that have been listening for a while that I've accepted friend requests from. But in general, if we have not met in person, I will probably not accept your friend request. And that's just because I am sensitive to anything I might post about my day job or anything I might post about my kids or family, you know, where if that's supposed to be my friends, it should be my friends. And by nature, I am a private person, although you wouldn't get that because here I am talking to the interwebs. So, but just know, please don't take offense if I don't accept your friend request. That's just kind of my personal policy, that my personal page is for personal stuff. So because of that, I never really set up anything for the podcast. You know, I don't think I have a podcast page. I didn't set up a podcast group. You know, I just sort of left Facebook alone in regards to this podcast as it originated back in 2010. With the Stitch TV show, however, we're reaching a much broader audience, and just having a page for the show doesn't really encourage interaction with anyone. It's kind of like we post our stuff and other people can see it, and, you know, we pass it down from our ivory tower, and you're all welcome, which not necessarily the sense of community that we are looking to build for people that watch our show because they don't have geographically close quilty friends. So we set up a Facebook group. All that preamble to say, we have a Facebook group. And I think there's still under 100 people on it, which is cool. So we just topped 2,800 subscribers. I think we hit that number in thanks to my sister, who went to the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Festival with my niece and passed out a bunch of business cards and buttons. And I didn't pre-announce that because I was not quite sure what day they were going. And also, my mom was supposed to go with them, but unfortunately, because of a health issue, couldn't go. So there was a little uncertainty that it would even happen. So thank you to my sister and niece for doing that and pushing us over 2,800. So we're slowly getting there. I put in like two questions for people to answer to join the Facebook group, and it's not necessarily a filter so much. And it's just more, hey, do you love quilts or do you really love quilts? And then what's your favorite part of the stitch? Which is a bit egotistical. Some people don't answer that one. That's perfectly fine. And usually it's like reading this fun list of quotes that Lynn and I have said. And the good news is I remember most of them. Like, oh, babies don't care. When Lynn and I get in arguments about stuff. When, you know, so it's been fun. So if you are at all interested in chatting with us over there and still trying to figure out like, okay, what's this group for? Like, we've encouraged people to post pictures of their quilts, to post pictures of their pets, because of course that's an important part of mine and Lynn's life. Discussion, like sometimes people post questions about like, ooh, I'm getting ready to start the droid quilt and I am nervous about cutting this big long strip. So give some advice that way. Answer questions about different techniques. So the Roman Yossi mosaic portrait quilt that Lynn has been posting out on the YouTube channel, like twice a week, she's showing her progress on that. So we answer questions about that because sometimes, you know, Lynn, it responds to all the YouTube comments, which is more than I would or could commit to, because other YouTube comment areas get a little dodgy and mean sometimes. I think the worst we've had is, oh, I should speak up more and would so-and-so should do something with her hair. To which I say, girlfriend, it's been 43 years and I have not yet figured out what to do with my hair, so carry on. And then on the other hand, sometimes I get compliments about my hair. So it's a mixed bag over there. Anyway, so that's YouTube comments. But we wanted a place where we could answer questions for everyone to see, particularly when it comes to patterns that we've designed. If there is something like, oh, I have a question about this step. Like, oh, well, hey, let's address it for everyone in case someone else has a question about that part. So, have I even mentioned the name? The name is called What's Up Stitches, which was Lynn's suggestion. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't know about that. But, you know, I will admit Lynn has been right about a couple things. This is one of them. So there you go. And I will put a link to that in the show notes if you're interested and active on Facebook and want to come hang out with us there. Upcoming on March something or other, a week from tomorrow, for me in real time, for those of you listening in the future, it is March 10th. I will be at the Greater Atlanta Sewing and Quilt Expo in Gwinnett County, which is, I live northwest of Atlanta. Gwinnett County is northeast, so I like gotta go down to Atlanta, go across, and go back up. Not a short ride. It's about an hour total if there's no traffic. And ideally, there's no traffic on a Saturday. But I will be at the Atlanta Sewing Quilt Expo. I will have buttons with me. I will also post this on our Facebook group and on our page for the Stitch TV show. So if you're going to be around there, come find me, say hi. Let's have an awkward hug, an awkward selfie. I'm good at those too. And I will give you a button if you don't already have one. If you have a button, I will hold a button for you in the selfie and then I will snatch it back. Haha, just kidding. What else is coming up? So, I was planning on doing it anyway, but because Lynn told people to comment that I should enter my getting clammy or feeling clammy at the Irish Disco Quilt in AQS shows or whatever shows, I will do that. I just need to take a better picture overall of the quilt. I have a couple good close-up shots, but I realized I didn't have a good overall shot of the quilt. So I have to take that when the lighting outside works. Right now it's way too bright and sunny, too much direct sunlight. So I will be entering that, and then maybe people in Lancaster or Paducah will get a chance to see it up close and personal. And let's see. Currently under my needle, a coworker had a baby. And so I am working on a quilt. Another coworker and I were friends with her. And so this other coworker said, hey, I will help pay for part of the quilt, you know, if you want to go in on this thing together. And then that'll be the gift from us, which I was cool with. So I'll just send her an estimate. Like, I think the fabric costs this much because I would make this coworker a quilt on my own. So I'm not going to get into politics of like, well, my time is worth X dollars an hour. But like, no, I like this woman and I would have made her a quilt anyway. So I got to get these blocks done this weekend and get this shindig off in the mail because it's going to Israel. and it worked in our favor that in Israel, the custom is to give gifts after the baby is born. And the baby was born last weekend, so I got to step it up. Can't wait on this anymore. So I'm working on that. And I think the design will turn into a pattern for us. I'm not using, obviously, the quilt that I'm making now is the cover image. I want to mix up the colors a bit. But this is all, it's all pinks and purples and whites because she had a little girl. So, and it is all 2.5-inch squares. Like, if you have a lot of 2.5-inch squares in your stash, you are in luck. And there you go. I think for the pattern sample, I might go with 2-inch squares because that's what I have cut the most of already. And then proportionally, for a cover image, it would look the same. It's just slightly scaled down. So that'll be a fun trick of the eye to deal with. So that's what I'll be working on this weekend, as well as writing up the pattern for the In Deep Ship line fabric because I have that sample done and ready to quilt. So yeah, I will spend some time quilting this weekend for sure. And I'm giving the stink eye to my machine like, yeah, we got a date later. And on top of that, I have also been making my scrappy trip around the world blocks as leaders and enders. And boy, they are colorful. And I think I'm up to 8 blocks, maybe 9. They're 12-inch finished, so I need to figure out exactly how many I need to put together for a good lap-size quilt to donate. And that's just simple math. So I'm thinking like 48 by 56 is a decent size, which is, or no, that's not even mathematically possible. 48 by 60. Obviously need to finish my coffee before I do math on mic. So that is 4 by 6 blocks. So I need 24 blocks. Yes. 24 blocks. See? Math. There you go. So I'm about almost halfway there with my blocks. And I have plenty of these strips cut out. That will not be a problem. So, good times. What else? Oh, books. So I kept up some of my reading. I have 3 that I just finished recently. One was Nonfiction by Mark Manson, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F, A Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life. And subtle is the key word there. Like, you cannot wholesale just decide you do not care about anything, because that is not the way to go through life. It is deciding what you should care about. So generally a good read, a little awkward to read in public, you know, because it's got the F word right there. I mean, there's an asterisk instead of the U in that word, but anyway. If you are amenable to that sort of language, because it's all through that book, then a decent read helpful in assessing how to prioritize things that you care about and how you take feedback. So, I also finished the sequel to If I Stay, which is Where She Went by Gail Forman, a YA book. Interesting conclusion to the story that got started in the first book. You know, is this book going to stay with me? Probably not. You know, but I'm a completionist and I like to complete series. So, a decent read. It looks like it's just about 4 out of 5 stars on Goodreads, you know, so much more about relationships and people. And I did like the take that she had on the grieving process. I think that was very realistic, and definitely something I could see happening. So realistic in that way and without kind of the mildly woo-woo aspect of the first one. So then, I also just finished last night Waking Gods, which is the second book in the Themis Files, which I think is how you pronounce it. It might be Themis, by Sylvain Nouvel, and I've probably just butchered his name. Apologies to the author. But this is a sci-fi book, essentially, and it's the second of the trilogy. The third book comes out this year, and it's about how the planet Earth reacts to having found giant robot parts and assembled them that are clearly from an alien race. So, continuing saga there. That was pretty good. It's the style is kind of like found footage or found letters, which is interesting. It's what I appreciate is how he can tell a complete story through such limited perspective. But it does take a little more work on the reader's part to figure out what relates to what. So that you have to pay attention while you're reading this book. You can't just like flip through it and be like, la la, got the highlights. Like, no, you got to pay attention. Like, who's being interviewed? Have I heard that name before that they mention? So a little more work on the reader's part. But I think it's worth it. It's a good story. It's interesting. I liked, this one felt, I hate to say it's more realistic than the first one, but how the characters act felt more in line. Now, maybe that was because he set the Crazy Town tone in the first book, and so you come to expect anything from the characters. But in terms of continuing the story, I think it's a little more narratively tight than the first book, which is helpful. And I am interested, definitely, in reading the third book. So that was Waking Gods. Okay. So I think that's going to wrap it for me. I have to go get ready for my next call for work. And next week we'll be back with an episode of the Stitch TV show. And then after that, you will hear from me directly just before my big conference in Vegas, which that's going to be crazy. And I'm now mildly panicking of like, oh no, I will not have capacity to do show notes for that show during that week. So I got to send a heads up and an SOS to the production team of like, I will not physically be able to do anything with the show that week. So, I either need it before I go or, that episode's going to be late basically, or it's not going to have show notes. That's the other alternative. Anyway, sorry for that mini meltdown here on mic. Oh, well. So if you are in the Atlanta area and you will be at the Sewing a Quilt Expo, please find me on Saturday, March 10th. I will be posting some pictures to the Stitch TV show Instagram account at the Stitch TV show. So you may get a glimpse of where I'm at, which is hopefully not creepy and stalkery. Anyway, hope you all have a great week and a great weekend. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie, LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.